We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Opening day is supposed to be about the Indians, but it's been very much about the Browns. They've had a busy day today, Daryl.
They have. They cut a couple players, brought a few guys back, made a trade. Another guy wants the hell out of here. introduced the LeBron James of the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it has been quite the opener to the team's offseason program, which also, by the way, started today.
Right. All right. Let's start with some of the roster moves before we get to Beckham. So Emmanuel Ogba traded to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Mary Kay just reported that Duke Johnson told the Browns front office, not John Dorsey, but somebody in the front office, that his reps told him he wanted to be traded. Derek Kindred cut. Browns did get a safety in the trade for Ogba. Also, Ricardo Lewis cut and Howard Wilson as well. What do you make of all the transactions today and another potential transaction with Duke Johnson?
Well, Duke asking to be traded, not much of a surprise there. I think that it was widely assumed by everybody that he wasn't going to be a Cleveland Brown for much longer. The question is, when that particular trigger would get pulled. So that isn't much of a surprise, Bull. A couple of the roster moves earlier today. Basically, if you were drafted by Sashi Brown and your name is not Miles Garrett or Larry Ogunjobi.
Or Joel Bitonio.
Or Joel Bitonio. Well, no, he's gone. Joel's still here, but Joel was drafted earlier than that. But
yeah.
Basically, if you were drafted by Sashi Brown, you're an endangered species at this point. Of the 24 picks that Sashi made, six of them remain on the roster after the trade today. So, and again, not a surprise. I think it was well assumed that Emmanuel Ogba would eventually get moved once they, brought in Olivier Vernon. And basically what John Dorsey has done is he's brought in players that he feels are better than the players that are here. And that's what GMs do. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think I like Emmanuel Ogba, but once they traded for Vernon, that pretty much ended any hope that he was going to be a starting force on this team, so he's going to get an opportunity now to go to Kansas City and shine a little bit. And also, you get a safety here. You needed a safety because you traded Jabril Peppers. So I don't know if Eric Murray's the full-time solution at that spot, but he did start 9 games last year.
Darryl, what's Duke Johnson's attitude been like throughout all this?
Well, I mean, we haven't really talked to him. I mean, obviously, he scrubbed any and all mention of the Browns from his social media, but also, in fairness to Duke, he also did that, Dustin, last year before he ended up signing the extension. So I don't know if it's fair to read a whole lot into
that. Well, that's different, though, Daryl, because he was...
I understand.
Last year, he's not a free agent right now.
I know, and like I said, that's why I'm not trying to jump to any conclusions. I'm trying to be fair about the situation, but him wanting an opportunity to go elsewhere and play doesn't surprise me, and quite frankly, I think he deserves the opportunity.
But he would have gotten an opportunity here, Daryl. Kareem Hunt suspended the half of the season.
True. He would have gotten an opportunity, I think, for a couple of weeks until
Kareem. What do you mean a couple of weeks? He's suspended for 8 games.
Well,
it's half the season. Last time I checked.
But you know what? Here's the other thing too that you might look at. Would Duke be really invested in the team? And
he's got a bad attitude.
And if they feel like he's got one foot out the door, and obviously if you're requesting to be traded, you do have a foot out the door. I think you need to honor that request and get him out of here. There's no sense into hanging on to a player that's unhappy with the current situation. I understand both sides of it. Kareem Hunt is a better football player than Duke Johnson. But Kareem Hunt also isn't going to be available for half the season, and you're going to need someone that's available that is not named Nick Chubb to help come out of the backfield. So, but on the flip side, Duke sees his window is very finite, as we know, and especially he plays a position that is discounted and that as a running back, so his window is even smaller. So I certainly understand why he wants, he does want an opportunity to go somewhere and feel like he is, in fact, a centerpiece to the team.
But he's not going to be Darryl. Where would he? He's not going to be a starter for anybody. I mean, he's probably going to go be a number two. Who would he be a starter for?
I don't know. My whole point is that he's going to get more touches elsewhere than he is here in Cleveland. You know.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
I think what he's thinking in his head.
It's, yeah.
He's looking at Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. and Antonio Callaway.
Good.
And
let him go to the Raiders and he could partner with Isaiah Crowell and be on a crappy team. Good luck with that.
I feel you. I'm just trying to explain the situation here, and I think that's what he is looking at is that he's looking at his touches, he's looking at his ability to have an impact. The amount of consistency with which he's going to get the opportunity to have an impact. And, obviously he doesn't feel like it's going to be in Cleveland, and hard to dispute his feeling in that regard, guys. So, again, if he is in fact unhappy here and does not want to be a part of this, I do think it behooves John Dorsey to move him.
You know, it seems like Baker Mayfield just continues to mature. You know, in his press conferences, he owned that room today. Up there with the veteran players, these guys that are rock stars, Odell Beckham and Jarvis and Miles. And yet I thought Baker came across even better than it maybe ever.
I did too. And, when it was a great response, when I asked him about his initial response or reaction, to the trade, and he said it was like I was on the field. I was hooting and hollering, yelling and screaming. I was so happy. And so excited, and to kind of put in perspective, okay, today versus the 2016 NFL draft, when the likes of Corey Coleman, Emmanuel Agba, Carl Nassib, Sean Coleman, and Cody Kessler were all up there for Sashi Brown's 2016 NFL draft victory lap, and today they had Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, and Myles Garrett. Holy Toledo, have we come a long way in such a short amount of time. That is what you call star power. These guys might become the Beatles of the NFL. They really might. I mean, Jarvis Landry is LeBron-esque in superstardom as far as the NFL goes. And the way he was looking at Baker Mayfield, the way Baker was looking back at him, they were smiling. You could tell that it was difficult for them to really contain their excitement. And while I thought at times Odell was very soft-spoken and very humble and kind of processing everything that has transpired here, I think this has an opportunity to be rather magical.
Daryl Ryder is with us here on the Highline. Daryl, is there any one position that you think is off limits, like for with the Browns' first pick in the draft? Because Bull and I kind of went back and forth about it, about a receiver, and I said, I think any position is in play because it's best player available.
And I hear that, but I think it would be unlikely for them to draft a wide receiver, especially higher in the draft.
Yeah, well, I mean, at 49, I think that they're going to take a defensive player because I think that's where their greatest need is. I think that they need depth on the defensive line still. I think that they could use a linebacker, although this draft is not good for linebackers, but it's very good for defensive backs, your safeties, your corners. I really think defensive back is where John Dorsey will be able to hone in and get a really good player. And listen, you can find good players in the middle of a draft. It happens all the time. We're just not used to it in Cleveland because there have just been so many blown draft picks, especially at the top of the draft. But over the years, the Browns have found some middle draft guys that have played pretty well here. So you can get some pretty good players. They got 8 picks. 3 of those picks are in the 5th round, if I remember correctly. It is a very deep draft on the defensive side of the ball. They loaded up in free agency with offensive line depth, so I don't think that that's as big of a concern as it was a couple weeks ago. Receiver, I think that they're deep enough. Maybe you draft a guy late that you can develop or something like that, but they still need to develop some guys. They still got to develop Rashard Higgins, even though he's come a long way, and you still got to develop Antonio Callaway and that. So I really think that the focus of this draft is going to be on the defensive side of the ball, especially from a depth standpoint. Maybe tight end is something that they look at. I think tight end could be a possibility.
And I think running back, I agree. I think the majority of the draft picks will likely go defense. But to Dustin's point, I think he's right. Smart GMs don't say, well, we need a safety, so we have to draft a safety in the second round. You take the best player. Now, if it's close between two guys, yeah, you're probably going to lean towards a position you maybe need. But the Browns are honestly in a position where they don't have to take anything.
Yep.
So they should really, they will take the best player in the second round. And, well, it seems to us that it's unlikely a wide receiver. Who the hell knows? If they think there's a guy, as Dustin said earlier with me, that they have as a first-round player and they take him in the second round, well, you sign him, you take him, maybe you trade him, maybe you trade Antonio Callaway. Who the hell knows? But, you know, they're not going to pay. John Dorsey's not going to pass up on a better player for a position. I think that's a good point.
No, absolutely not. And this is the enviable position that you long to be in. One that you take the best player that's on your board, and that guy fills in. And they already have pretty much their starting lineup on both sides of the ball set. So there's no pressure for that player that you take and believe to be the best player that's available to come in and play in a starting capacity and have a tremendous impact right away. This is how you develop depth on a football team. So what John Dorsey's been able to do in 15, 16 months since taking over as general manager, flipping this roster, using the assets, he hasn't burned through all the salary cap space. They're still going to be able to roll some space forward to make sure they're able to keep their own guys and stuff like that. He's done a great job as GM. I love every time I listen to Freddie Kitchens talk. I love what he has to say. You know, the whoop-de hell was it today about
whoop-de hell.
The roster looking good on paper. I think he should get royalties from all the t-shirt companies because he's going to be making a lot of t-shirts this year with some of the stuff he says.
Hey Daryl, on the whoop-de hell there, he was talking about either talking about Ogba Johnson at the time. Did anybody else not show up today besides those two guys?
Those were the two big ones that caught everybody's attention. A lot of guys are going to be leaving too. From what I understand, I think Odell isn't going to be staying in town long. I think there's a chance Baker might take off for a little bit. And that's why Freddie really got into that today about the voluntary and not wanting us to be criticizing who's here, who's not here, or him worrying about the media criticizing players that are or aren't here. The two guys that weren't here today are two guys that, well, one of them's already gone and the other one's soon to be gone. So I don't think it's a big deal. And that I think that that was one of the main points that Freddie Kitchens really wanted to drive home, that this is by league rule. It is voluntary. Definitely the guys that have those workout bonuses, though, in their contracts, they'll be sure to stick around because they want to be able to cash those offseason checks.
Daryl, I know you mentioned Eric Murray, the player that they traded for from Kansas City. Are you surprised that they didn't get more out of that trade?
No, I think that, you know, John did a good job, you know, taking a player that basically was no longer a fit here. There just wasn't room for him unless it was down the depth chart, Dustin, because Emmanuel's a starter.
Yeah.
Emmanuel started all 40 games for the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, from a standpoint, a pass rusher has more value than a safety.
Yeah, I hear you, but, you know, he filled a need. They didn't have another safety.
I got you.
I mean, they had one safety to trot out there, Dustin. Now, good thing the Browns don't have a game until September, but, you know, that was a question some fan, when they waived Derek Kindred this morning, or, you know, when it came out that he was going to get waived today. The concern was, well, wait a minute, who are you going to play at safety? You're already down one linebacker after cutting Jamie Collins. You haven't really replaced him. You traded Jabril Peppers, one of your starting safeties. You haven't really replaced him. And then one of the guys thought to be able to potentially be a candidate to fill in, you just went ahead and cut him. What do you do? So basically, I think what John Dorsey was able to do there, Dustin, is trade a guy who needed a starting opportunity, was no longer going to happen in Cleveland, move him for a player that could potentially come here and fill a role. The other thing about this Murray kid, he plays special teams, and he's a pretty good special teams player too. And that's an area where the Browns were pretty deficient last year, and this offseason with some of the moves Dorsey's made, he has shored up that aspect of the game with some of the players he's brought in.
Daryl, let me say this, though, and I think we'd all agree. The people that said to you, they're worried about what do we do? It's why do we cut this guy? And why do we cut that?
Right.
Those people are idiots. Let's be honest about it. what is wrong with these people? All right. Listen, I've been killing the Browns, deservedly so, since we went on the air in 2011 until about a year ago. And they deserved every single time I killed them because they were a bunch of buffoons and idiots. Well, now we have a guy who knows what the hell he's doing. So any Nimrod you're talking to who's saying, they cut Jamie Collins. They haven't filled a... Shut up. Trust this GM. He knows what the hell he's doing. And you're an idiot. So tell, for now on, anybody complains about it, tell them they're an idiot and shut up. And then that's it.
I'm with you.
I mean John Doerr's, again. Jamie Collins stinks. Who cares?
And again, they don't have to play a game that matters until September. Last time I checked, that's what, 4 or 5 months away. We got a little ways to go, people. We still have a draft. They're done spending the big money, okay? They're not going
to go out
and bring in
a big name. There's nobody to spend big money on.
Right. You know, there's no one really left. They might sign a guy for $1 million or $2 million, but they're not going to spend big money right now. Dorsey's going to try and fill whatever gaps and holes he has in the draft. And also, again, I mean, you look at where they have the talent. It's where they need the damn talent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dorsey has really infused this team with a tremendous amount of blue-chip talent. Three of those pieces he brought in on display today, and I think all three of those guys, again, when you talk about Baker Mayfield, you talk about Odell Beckham Jr., and you talk about Jarvis Landry, this, I said it earlier, I think that this has an opportunity to be special, magical, iconic was a word that Odell used today. He said this moment, I think, you know, when we look back on it, has the potential to be really iconic. I agree with him. I think that you can look back on that scene today in Berea, Ohio, with those four players sitting up there. That is the foundation of this Cleveland Browns franchise, which, oh, by the way, everyone expects not just to play in prime time and ditch the 1 o'clock games, but they're expected to win their division and play in January.
Agreed.
And it's hard to believe that 16 months ago we were sitting here talking about a team that couldn't win a damn game.
Come a long way in a short time. Darryl, good stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
You got it, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.